Open this meeting and close it. It's going to be an informal or informal meeting, just information only. With that, we can go to federal, state, or county representative district report. I don't, is there somebody out there? Update by state advocate of issues at the state level.
So we don't have anyone from the state yet, but I do see Susan. Susan, do you have anyone else on your side from the for a federal update, or are we still waiting on people?
Yeah, there should be a few more of us joining. Sorry about that.
No problem. Well, then, given that we can, if you want, I know Charlene has prepared a public information activity report. We can start there and then go to state, federal afterwards, if that's good.
Sure. Let's do that.
There we go. I see it now. All right. Well, lots of information and activities to go over as usual. It's been another busy period for outreach and conservation. And we'll start off by sharing that our office continues to put out press releases regularly. And this is an example. We got to share our announcement that once again, the agency was recognized for financial excellence in reporting. And then hopefully you all saw the press release that went out, I want to say last week, about our groundbreaking event on July 31st. So that went out, but it went out after we put the presentation together. So if anybody missed that, it is on our website if you want to catch up. We are continuing to make progress on making our website ADA compliant by the mandatory deadline. It's a federal deadline, and we've extended our contract with our current website host for one more year, and then we anticipate going through the RFP process to find vendors that are going to specialize in ADA website compliance, and that's going to be a chunk. We're working closely with our IT department, of course, and get us all ready for the deadline. And Kenny is lead on that project, so very, very grateful for that. All right, last week, we held our third annual Wonders of Water Family Fun Night. And to say that this was a success would be an understatement. The pictures really do say it all. Our boardroom was packed. We had families of all ages, and they got to have a lot of fun with Legos while they learned about water infrastructure and what role that our agency plays in providing that infrastructure. This was in part thanks to Cal State San Bernardino's Institute for Watershed Resiliency, Dr. Jennifer Alford, and some of who has spoken to our board before, so she's definitely not a stranger. She and some of her fellows from the program were on hand at each of the stations to facilitate all of the different activities, and it was great. But I need to give huge kudos to our own conservation specialist, Liz Fratt. She put that event together. It was stellar. I can't even explain how stellar it was. She came up with the theme. It was Family Build Night instead of Lego, just so that we didn't have any copyright or infringement issues. But it was very, very clear what the main theme was because she brainstormed the activities, the decorations, and recruited the help that she needed to make it really an immersive experience for everybody who was there. And all as always, we had no shortage of helping hands, which we are always so grateful for. And I'm always fearful of reading the list of names and leaving somebody out. But we had Teresa Marina, Isaac Torres, Martha Cortez, Lauren Warham, Trevor Samurajski, Latrice Jones, and Kenny, of course, did all of our marketing. We are pretty confident that the paid Facebook ads that we did for this round really helped contribute to that attendance, and I just can't say enough about it. It was awesome. It was absolutely awesome. So best one we've had so far. We've been doing this particular event for 3 years. So good job, team. Very, very excited. All right. Oh, there's more pictures. Should have been clicking through. But you could see it was just packed.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Was really excited about that. So you may recall the year before, it was a Mario Kart theme. We had our operations staff. It was also an awesome event. It happened to be, I want to say, about 112 degrees that day. So while we had a whole bunch of signups, we didn't get quite, didn't fill the room quite up as we, quite as much as we thought we would, but it was 112 degrees. Nobody wanted to go anywhere. So it was really great to see the room full that night. So, and we have more excitement coming up. This Thursday, we are celebrating the agency's 65th anniversary. We were very mindful to keep costs down, but 65 years is nothing to gloss over either. So we're having a small ceremony here in our boardroom right after Thursday's board meeting. We anticipate it starting around 10:15. We don't know exactly how long the agenda will go, but we're going to start at around 10:15, and then we'll have some presentations, and we're going to be dedicating a brand new bench out in our conservation demonstration garden, and then we're going to wrap up with lunch. And we've gotten several RSVPs from representatives, our local legislators, so we're excited about that. Then 1 week later, just one short week later, we are breaking ground on our new traveling screen project in Phelan. I unofficially call it a dirt party. We've been working with multiple departments to coordinate this event that will feature remarks from President Raleigh, TESFE, who's managing the project, our construction partners. Certificates will be presented by several of the local legislative offices. And then, of course, the ceremonial turning of the dirt, hence why I call it a dirt party. So I hope you all come out and join us. We did put a press release out on that. There should be plenty of seating. We'll have refreshments. Hoping we get a good turnout for that. And then we did host a storm water preparedness class and water harvesting. We combined those into one. It was on July 10th. We had quite a few participants on that. So it seems like our attendance at things are starting to ramp back up. I think it's taken a while after, you know, the big pandemic. But we are getting more participation. We're really glad about that. This was the third class this year that we offered our virtual series. So it went really well. And we've got more virtual classes planned for fall. And then finally, I will just wrap up with some of the events that we have coming up. We always try and be a presence at our local High Desert Chamber of Commerce. The next meeting for that is the 6th. Latrice takes the reservations for that if anybody wants to go. It's always informative. We have our San Bernardino County Special Districts Dinner on August 18th. I attended last night's down in San Bernardino, and it was very informative. We had San Bernardino Valley Water give their presentation, so it was kind of neat to see another water agency giving their information. I will not be at the August 18th one, and my team is going to be taking care of LLCP next month because I get to go on vacation, and I'm excited about that. So miss you guys, but I'll be on vacation. We've got, of course, the groundbreaking is coming up. August 5th, we do participate in National Night Out. That is a national event where law enforcement, public safety, all of those groups come out to each of the communities. We're going to be participating in Apple Valley. We will have the team out there for informational purposes. They'll have giveaways. So you'll see our presence out at that event, which does draw many, many people. It seems to be a big event. So we'll get a lot of exposure out of that for the agency. And then August 8th, that is not what I meant to do. There we go. August 8th, we've got our big Southern California Water Building Industry Association conference. We've been on the planning committee for that for several years. This year was no exception. And we are going to actually assist them with check-in and registration this year. Liz is going to be doing that. Kenny will be stationed at our informational table. And then we've got the whole day of information sessions, lunch. I don't think it's too late to let us know that you want to go to that. We do have some, I think we have one or two seats left from our sponsorship for that. And it's always informative. And then lastly, I will say that our roadshow that we have, which used to be called our mini tour, we've got a good amount of signups already. So if you don't want to miss the bus, sign up now. And we're going to go up to the Silverwood Lake Spillway like we did last year at this time. So it should be good. And then look for more information soon on our next round of essay and problem solvers contests. And unless there are any questions, that's my report.
Thank you, Charlene. Excellent report. And you've been busy in a well-deserved vacation.
Thank you. It's my dream trip.
Was there any questions from anybody? I don't think so. We'll go back to the federal, state, or county representative district report.
No district reports today, it looks like. We can go right to the federal advocates, or state advocates, sorry. We usually start with state.
Right.
Hi, everyone. Brenda from KP here. So good to see everyone or hear everyone this morning. So what's happening up here in Sacramento? Things have finally calmed down a little bit. The legislature went out on its summer recess on Friday, and they will be out until August 18th. So we have essentially a month to catch our breath and, you know, try to work on any remaining bills before they return in August. And then it's basically a race to the end of the year where bills have to, you know, past their respective second houses. So, right when they come back on August 29th, or I guess like a week later, the appropriations committees have to dispense with all their bills. That includes the suspense file. It will be interesting to see how that plays out this time since we are still in a budget crisis and, you know, a lot of these bills have price tags on them, so we'll get a sense of how serious Sacramento is about, you know, closing those budget holes, I think, by the actions of the Appropriations Committee in late August. And then, as I mentioned, following that, we have about 2 weeks and for the houses to pass all the remaining bills and deliver the bills to the governor by September 12th. And then the governor has a month to act upon those bills, either signing or vetoing them. So it's a little bit of what's coming up for us in the future. So I'll move on to the legislative update. A lot of these bills should look a little bit familiar now. So the first one is AB 1089 by Assemblymember Carrillo. This is the Western Joshua Tree Conservation Act amendment, where it's basically giving industrial and commercial projects access to the same kind of off-ramp or in-lieu fee option that exists for public works projects. It has passed through policy committee on in the second house in the Senate with minor amendments and is awaiting action in the Appropriations Committee. So that bill appears to be moving forward. I mean, like I said, from Mojave's perspective, I don't know if this changes much of anything, but it does, you know, help, you know, members of the community, you know, access the same kind of, like, I guess, easier development pathway when the development in question is industrial or commercial. Next, we have SB 72 by Caballero. That's the update to the California Water Plan that creates a long-term supply target, amongst other changes, and basically tells DWR, all right, the water plan has to actually inform how we can get, you know, how we can plan for and achieve, you know, additional water supply, especially in the face of climate change and increasingly unreliable snowpack. So that bill, again, has been moving through the assembly with, you know, essentially no amendments. It is also awaiting action in the Appropriations Committee, so we will see, you know, what happens there. Obviously, you know, Senator Caballero, the author of this bill, is the chair of the Senate Appropriations Committee. So even though it's not her committee on the assembly side, you know, there's a pretty good chance, she has as good a chance as anyone to get a bill like this out of the Appropriations Committee. So hopefully it will move forward and get on the governor's desk in relatively short order. Then we have SB 454 by McNerney. This is, this bill has, doesn't unfortunately do much now. It just creates a fund, like basically just the statutory framework for a fund to exist that would, at such point in the future that it actually receives any money, would be able to make that money available for PFAS mitigation. Like I said, there's no real source of money that's identified. The entire bill has been made contingent upon a future appropriation by the legislature. So, I mean, I guess it's a good thing that there would be sort of a receptacle or an account, I suppose, that would be available for money, and then to turn that money around and give it to water districts when, you know, for PFAS purposes. But as for right now, you know, it feels good, but I don't think it changes much on the ground due to the fact that there's really no money that is going to go into that fund, and thus no money that anyone can apply for and receive from that fund. But that bill is still moving forward as of now. Then we have SB 601. This is Senator Allen's wastewater and water quality bill that, when it was introduced, was very problematic for anyone who receives a water quality permit, especially if you've been discharging to waters of the state. A lot has changed on this bill. Significant changes have been made on this one. As I've mentioned in previous meetings, there was a private right of action in there that created huge litigation risk. That is all gone now. And so that's a huge improvement. We've been working with the author's office to further narrow the scope of the bill and get important changes to some of the provisions that we're trying to, like, lock in previous Supreme Court precedent and, like, pre-Trump, you know, water quality protections. That was done in kind of like a messy way, honestly, in the beginning, and we're getting some good traction on getting those things changed so it doesn't tie the hands of the regional boards and the state board, which currently have some flexibility to, you know, establish site-specific objectives and, you know, change water quality standards when, you know, there's just no way you can meet them. So we're trying to preserve that existing flexibility in the face of what the bill proponents want to do. So I am honestly, not to be fully, I'll just be really candid on this part, but, like, I'm honestly really impressed and surprised by how far we've gotten on this bill. I thought there was no way we'd be able to reach any sort of agreement, especially on some of these really big issues. But the list of outstanding issues that need to be resolved on this bill are small now, which is a pleasant change, but still more work to come, and hopefully we can get that done before, you know, it's dispensed with on appropriations. And then closing out is a new bill that I don't believe we've talked about here. It's SB 445. This is a late gut and amend bill that has had a long and strange journey in the last few weeks. So it was originally gutted and amended into this, into a bill that would have essentially advantaged transit projects at the expense of any utility. So if a transit project is planned, there would be a shot clock for utilities and local governments to basically either approve the project, or if they don't do it within those short time periods, the project would essentially be deemed approved and could go forward, and the utility would be responsible for moving and reconfiguring any of its infrastructure that lays in the path of that transit project. Obviously, that creates huge issues for anyone who has water infrastructure, wastewater infrastructure, you know, telecom, electricity, like you name it, that it creates a bunch of issues. So the bill got narrowed significantly such that now it only applies to the high-speed rail project, and it charges the high-speed rail authority with developing regulations that would help facilitate or streamline like the right-of-ways and permits it needs from local governments and utilities as it's moving through, you know, the planned route. So in that sense, the bill has been significantly narrowed and a little bit improved because, you know, these, like the competition between transit and or high-speed rail and, you know, utilities has been kind of conditioned on a regulatory process instead of, you know, mandatorily laid out in statute. But there are still, you know, some concerns, and especially, you know, if you have any facilities that might be within the footprint of high-speed rail, this is something that I think bears taking a close look at. CMUA, AQUA, and a lot of the other, you know, statewide associations for utilities and telecom are still very much opposed to this bill and are trying to, you know, get needed changes to make it workable to the extent that can happen. There was a commitment by the author to work over the break on this, but, you know, that remains to be seen how much movement, because obviously the bill is much smaller and less ambitious than the original intent. So more to come on that, but I did, you know, since this is sort of a late in the game change, I wanted to make sure you all were aware of it. And if you want to talk further about that and any specific concerns you have, that would be really helpful, especially as we go forward trying to shape this bill in a way where it does not, you know, put a lot of cost burdens and inconveniences on, you know, our essential utilities like water. Right. Any questions on those bills?
Just a comment here. I know Brenda, we've been talking to Brenda and Ed at State on that, and I learned about this recently, this bill. We do have a significant amount of infrastructure that has a potential to be impacted by something like this. We've been in constant discussions with the various JPAs associated with high-speed rail development, and that has included, you know, what does crossing look like? Is there pipe relocation? Right, one of the things we want to make sure we protect is our ability to engage in that process thoughtfully and understand what it means if they were to construct, given an alignment, what it means for our access to that line, what does repair look like, if we spring a leak somewhere, you know, what's access and what are the costs associated with repair. Obviously, with new infrastructure crossing over, significantly increases the complexity of a repair job or inspection. So we do look for opportunities for realignment to make things, you know, continue to make things reasonable to maintain. So this is something we'll continue to watch.
Yeah, it does kind of put utilities at a little disadvantage if they're going to have to pay for the relocation of their utilities or facilities. So thank you. Any other questions? Thank you, Brenda.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, I just had two more items about state budget. You know, the Delta Conveyance trailer bill is still out there. I think there's a hope that, you know, it can get moving again in August. But I honestly haven't heard too much about that. It would be great if there was some way to get that through and advantage that really important project. But as of now, it's sort of hanging out there, and we'll see if it gets traction to move. And then finally, you know, there was a proposed reversion of Healthy Rivers and Landscapes funding, but that reversion got reversed. So without the double negative, that means that that funding has been restored and it remains in the budget. So that was a really good win, you know, for the water community and water supply reliability on the state water project. And that's all I have on the state budget right now with those items. And I think that's the end of my report, unless there's anything else.
Any other questions? I think we're good, Brenda, and thank you for that report.
Okay. Thank you.
With that, we'll move up to the update by federal advocate issues at the federal level.
Hi, Jean Denton from Innovative Federal Strategies here. Letitia's hoping to join us. She's on a call, another call that's unfortunately going long, but we'll go ahead and kick off and give you an update on what's going on back here in Washington. It's kind of like the state. Obviously, a lot of activity leading up to the August recess/district work period. So the House will be in through tomorrow and then depart to come back after Labor Day. The Senate will stay another week and continue to move forward with some appropriation bills and then also depart for the month of August. But it's been a busy month in July since we last spoke to you in late June. As you may likely have seen, I know we've reported on it, they did pass the reconciliation package, the One Big Beautiful Bill. So which is predominantly, you know, a tax reconciliation package, but also lots of funding in there for different items like water infrastructure, which we are continuing to do a deep dive and figure out what that looks like and what kind of projects will be available to be funded under these new monies that are going to be out there for the next couple of years. So we'll keep you posted on that front. And then they've really stepped out on the appropriation bills for FY26. The House has done all but one bill by the end of this week through full committee, two off of the floor. The Senate has done a couple of bills and is actually doing the interior bill this upcoming Thursday. And so we'll keep you posted on those. Not surprisingly, as we had previously reported when the budget came up in the spring from the Trump administration, lots of reductions in major programs, like 55% reduction proposed for EPA and 33% reduction proposed for Bureau of Rec and so on. But Congress has chosen, not surprisingly, not to make steep cuts like that. For the Bureau of Rec, the Energy and Water Bill that moved through the House is level funding for Bureau of Rec. EPA funding, they did do, instead of a 55% reduction, they did a 23% reduction. So we are seeing Congress, you know, tempering some of these funding, you know, debate on, you know, what exactly the federal government will be involved with going forward. So we'll continue to monitor that. We are pleased that, and we'll, as I indicated, the Senate is marking up their interior bill later this week. Senator Padilla has included funding in there for the recharge basin, $1.5 million request. So we will likely know by the end of the week if something like that is included in the legislation, and we will certainly keep you posted on that front. And once again, Congress will be, you know, departing for a five-week recess. Really excited. You guys have some wonderful events coming up. As staff has indicated, we've been working with our federal officials back here in Washington on doing, whether that's a tribute in the Congressional Record or a certificate of recognition with both the House and Senate members, and we'll continue to feed those over to the team as they come available. And just look forward to hearing about them and wish you luck. And I guess I would also add that another item that took place in July, the president did send up a $9 trillion rescission package. And unique, these normally don't get through Congress, but they did get through the House and Senate very narrowly. And so that kind of sets the stage once again for, you know, budget battles that will be happening as we play out this fiscal year. Looking towards when they get back, of course, in September, there will be a need for a continuing resolution because the fiscal year will start at the 1st of October. Likely everything we're hearing when we talk to the chairman of the Appropriations Committee is that it will be a short-term one, and the hope is that they can finalize bills over the course of the fall and get something in place instead of having to do a year-long continuing resolution that we're currently under for FY25. So we'll be monitoring that closely and also, you know, definitely working towards that because it's preferable to have bills in place than to have a continuing resolution, which is just level funding. So once again, lots of activity here in Washington. Going to have a bit of a lull in August, but they'll be back with a lot on their plate when they come back in September. So I guess I would throw it out there for any questions.
Sorry about that. My mic was off. There was no questions, and thank you, Jean.
Thank you, guys.
I think that's it, unless we're going to go in public participation. I think that's it.
I don't think we've gotten any requests to speak, and given this is an informal informational meeting, I think you can just end it whenever you'd like.
Okay, that concludes the LLC meeting for today.